Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Monday edition. Combine is a wrap. We've got height, weights, speeds for almost all the prospects that are looking to be drafted in the NFL. There were some combine snubs that still have to work out, so there might be some under-the-radar players yet. But for the most part, we've got a lot to talk about this week. We will focus on the Friday workouts that happened after the last podcast. Offensive linemen, running backs, will finish up with the defensive side of the ball the rest of the week. I do still want to do a weekly mailbag show. I don't think we're going to do a full show this week. And maybe this is a good way to format it throughout the offseason. I want to throw a mailbag segment every show this week. That way we can sort of break down some of the prospects, some of the questions maybe I don't cover from the podcast before about a certain position group or looking ahead to free agency, which will get going the new league year, March 18th. And next week, really, we will hit that hard. We'll probably have a better idea about the collective bargaining agreement. If there's a franchise tag thrown on Arik Armstead, who other teams throw franchise tags on, who's available in free agency, the tampering period, the legal tampering begins 2 days before. So March 16th, we'll find out who a lot of players will be signing with. Then the first wave of free agents, March 18th, is officially when free agency opens and players can sign. Then there will be a second wave of free agency. So a lot to talk about in March about free agency. And then, of course, April is draft month, and we'll dig into the position groups, what it looks like after free agency, before free agency for the 49ers currently, what they might be looking for in the draft, how that might change. So a lot to get into this offseason when it comes to NFL football and specifically your San Francisco 49ers. Today, though, we'll break down what we saw in Indianapolis from the offensive linemen and running backs. So we'll try that this week. Hit me with your mailbag questions throughout the week, anytime, on Twitter, at BDPeacock. I prefer Twitter. The emails tend to get too long, but you can email me as well, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And of course, you can find this podcast on all your favorite podcast apps, just like any program on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL, co-hosted by myself with former NFL scout Matt Williamson. I don't think offensive tackle and maybe not even running back, actually. Dark horse position running back at 31 overall. I know some people would probably be shocked by that. I wouldn't advise it. I'm not an early running back person. I think anybody who listens to this podcast knows I probably wouldn't draft almost never a first round running back, but at 31 makes a lot more sense than drafting a running back, say number two overall or something like that. If you know, if you're a really good football team, let's say free agency goes a certain direction for the 49ers, they really feel like they feel good everywhere. They covered a lot of their bases. Maybe they cut Tevin Coleman to save some money to do some of those things in free agency. And then a running back is far and away the number one player on their board. Kyle Shanahan loves running backs. I would not be shocked if the 49ers went running back at 31. Not likely, dark horse position, but don't lose your mind if it happens. That is a possibility, I think, at this point, just looking this far out from the draft and how things could possibly go in the offseason. More on team needs and stuff like that, and we'll get to the running backs second, but I want to start with the offensive line, actually, which I think there's a better chance of an offensive lineman going to the 49ers at pick 31, whether it's a future starting offensive tackle who could maybe mix in and play some guard early in his career until Joe. And you have to really go into the draft this year probably expecting that this could be Joe Staley's final year with the 49ers. And even if he decides to continue playing, how good is he going to be for how long? You have to make those plans. You have Mike McGlinchey locked in, very good starting offensive tackle. Do you want to keep him on the right side? Do you want to move him to the left side, bring in a right tackle? Maybe it depends on the player that you bring in. And this is a great offensive tackle class. So many, I mean, when you see the workouts too, how big these guys are, they were all plenty long enough. They all have the long arms and the big bodies, and they're all over 300 pounds. And then they go run and work out, and they all move so well. Really a fantastic offensive tackle class. A bunch of them are going to go early. The 49ers aren't going to have, you know, their pick of the litter, but the second tier of tackles, which are still starting caliber tackles, I think, in this class, the 49ers could find one of those guys there. Maybe late one, even if they trade down into the second, and then there's some sleepers, third, fourth round, I think, as well. So a deep class, a really strong class. I think the strength of the class at the beginning might help a really good player, or at least a project and a developmental type at offensive tackle, fall into the mid rounds because a lot of teams will have addressed it already with some of the really top end talent at offensive tackle. But when it comes to the combine and the guys that really stood out, I think the guy that gets most, well, there's two players that are going to get all the headlines from the offensive tackle class and overshadow some other really good workouts that would be like mind-blowing in their own right if we didn't see a 364-pound guy run 4.10, which is just an awesome time. And that is Mekhi Becton out of Louisville, just massive. Imagine if Trent Brown worked out as well as Mike McGlinchey. That's what we're talking about with what Mekhi Becton did at the combine, with the way he could move at 6'7 and 3/8, 364 pounds. You know what they did this year? And I haven't seen the weights from all of the players, but I did hear it about Mekhi Becton. He was actually, by the time he ran his 40, because they weigh people and measure him at the weigh-in, they weighed people again before they ran and before they worked out, just to see if someone was artificially, you know, drinking a bunch of water and maybe their weight wasn't quite there by the time they ran the next day. Becton was down to, and I don't know why Becton would try to get any bigger than he already is. So, you know, I don't know why. And it would be awesome if you could lose 7 pounds in a day like Becton did. But he was actually 357, I think, when he actually ran the 40. For whatever reason, he dropped 7 pounds. I guess it's a lot easier when you're 360 to lose a pound or two, depending on when you eat and you know, how much you sweat out. But Mekhi Becton, 6'7", 364 at the weigh-in, super big, super long, and then ran a 5.10, just moves really well. Great day for him. He solidified himself among the top four. I think it's a pick your flavor with the top three or four tackles in this class, and Mekhi Becton is definitely going to be one of them, and very unlikely, and he would probably be the fourth just because of his size. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan, we saw it with Trent Brown. Even though Becton moves a lot better, probably not the 49ers type. Even if he did get to 31, which I highly doubt he would sniff anywhere, probably won't even get into the 20s in this class, and may not get out of the top five. He might be the first tackle off the board, say, to the Giants at pick four, and that's where the run on tackles might begin. Mekhi Becton, very good for himself, but the very last runner of the offensive tackles was Tristan Wirfs, and man, just a hair under 6'5", 320 pounds, ran a 4.85. We're talking Joe Staley type athleticism and speed numbers at, you know, 20 pounds heavier than Staley was coming out of college. So that's the athleticism we've seen with Tristan Wirfs. 36.5-inch vertical at 320 pounds. That's better than CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, wide receivers that are going to be going in the first round. He had a better vertical jump at 6'5", 320, did Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. Now, a little bit rawer. Some people even like Wirfs at guard. Maybe he'll start at guard for whoever drafts him and then move out to tackle. So I think maybe that's why he would be number three or four on my list instead of number one with those workout numbers. But as far as athletic talent, that's a true freak of nature right there, a 320-pound guy running a 4.85. Just ridiculous for some of these players. And then some overshadowed guys. Jedrick Wills might be the number one offensive tackle in this class. 6'4", 312, big hands, long arms, runs a 5.05, which is very good for an offense. Just for people, because we see these crazy fast numbers thrown out there. Some people were talking about how Mekhi Becton at 360 running 5.10 is more impressive than Henry Ruggs at 188 pounds running 4.27. That's how impressive it is for a 300-pounder to be moving like some of these guys are. Some of these guys ran better than the tight ends in this class. Not a great tight end class, a very good offensive tackle class especially. And we're going tackle heavy in this class. We have plenty of time to talk more about guards and centers. I'll highlight a few of those. But just the offensive tackle class is so good. And ideally, if you're drafting offensive linemen earlier, you're probably targeting tackles more than interior guys, but who knows? Maybe the best offensive lineman on the board when the 49ers pick early in this draft is an interior guy, a center or a guard. Okay, more on the offensive tackle class. We'll get more into the running back class as well coming up. So Jedrick Wills, Tristan Wirfs, Mekhi Becton, those are probably the top three looking at consensus draft boards. There's a fourth, Andrew Thomas, that probably should be closer to that tier than the next tier of guys. Andrew Thomas had a nice combine, not quite as good as those others, but you know, very good prospect in his own right. Starting caliber, left tackle, most likely in the NFL. 6'5", 315 pounds, 36-inch arm length, just, you know, wonderful size. He got over 30 inches in the vertical jump, 21 reps, 5.22, solid time. Not as wowing as some of those other guys, but yeah, those are your top four offensive tackles in some order. Consensus board probably looks something like Jedrick Wills, Tristan Wirfs, Mekhi Becton, Andrew Thomas in that order. But I could see Becton going first. I could see Wirfs going first with that crazy workout. So it really depends on the team that's drafting, how they like the fit, who they like better for their scheme. A lot of those guys are going to go early, probably in the top 15 picks or so. Then the next tier of offensive tackles. There is Josh Jones out of Houston, who maybe should be sort of in his own tier between tier one and tier two. He had a really great week at the Senior Bowl, a boom or bust sort of a player. Maybe didn't work out as well as some people would have hoped for how he's being billed as a supreme physical specimen with a super high upside, but a really solid workout for him and no red flags or anything like that. And most mock drafts I've seen since the Senior Bowl have Josh Jones in the late round one area somewhere, you know, 20s, maybe 30s at the latest in some 2-round mock drafts. But Josh Jones could be number 5 easily off the board. But there's some guys in the mix right behind him as well. Josh Jones, 6'5", 319, 33 7/8 inch arm. So just under that 34 inch threshold that teams want to see for an offensive tackle. 33 is the bare minimum for offensive tackles. When you're below 33 inches, really people just start talking about being an offensive guard or a center for you. But, you know, 33 7/8 is fine for Josh Jones. 5'27", 40-yard dash, 24 bench press reps. You know, okay, just fine workout for Josh Jones. Wasn't a wowing workout, especially when you compare him to the other guys. Probably the consensus number 5 tackle in this class. Then there are some interesting names after Jones that 49ers could maybe be looking at 31, or in a trade down scenario, day 2, there's still some really good players, I think, that could be starting caliber offensive tackles in this class. There is Lucas Niang out of TCU, who had an injury and did not work out at the combine because of the injury he's dealing with. And maybe he's the guy that would have been, you know, consensus offensive tackle 5 if he wasn't hurt this year. 6'6", 315, all the length and size you're looking for there at offensive tackle. Prince Tega-Nwonogo, also another player that did not work out at the combine, offensive tackle out of Auburn, 6'5", 308. Be someone in that second round range that teams are looking at to draft as a potential starting offensive tackle. Not as big as some of the guys we've talked about so far, though. And then some impressive athletes that are developmental types, day 2, maybe into early day 3, that I really like. And this is the area that I think the 49ers could attack if they go another way earlier in the draft. Are they able to move around to add some picks on day 2, maybe round 4, 3, 4 area? Ideally, with most of your starting offensive line in place, and maybe there's some opportunity for a guy to earn a starting job inside at guard before potentially moving out or being a swing tackle or whatever. You know, there's depth needs on the roster. Ideally, what the 49ers would be able to do is leverage this draft into finding themselves getting lucky a little bit, developing a future starting offensive tackle. So If you fast forward 12 months, Joe Staley retires, you don't have that player in place ready to become the next starter, someone you believe can at least compete to be a starter. Now you're just locked in. I mean, you're drafting a first round offensive tackle, or you're spending a bunch of money that the 49ers might not have to spend to bring in a free agent offensive tackle, because you have to fill that hole. You can't go into the season without a high end player there, or without someone that you believe can be that high end starting caliber offensive tackle, whether or not Mike McGlinchey stays on the right side or ends up playing left tackle. So that's one of the big things the 49ers could potentially do here, is get that player ready. And I think cornerback is another position that I view very much the same way. Can you get lucky? Can you develop yourself sort of like the 49ers were able to do? They got really lucky finding themselves, I think, a starting caliber cornerback in Emmanuel Mosley. Can they do that on the offensive line this year? Find someone who's super athletic that develops into a starter, even if it's a starter at guard, but potentially a starting tackle, or even a depth swing tackle. You know, find yourself a player, give yourself an opportunity to get lucky, find a future starter at this position. There's a number of guys that I think could fit that bill, and being so top heavy at the position at offensive tackle, it might push some of these guys down later to where the 49ers can get lucky and snag one of these players. I'll start with Sadiq Charles out of LSU. Now, there's some off-field concerns and character stuff that need to be vetted with this player. Maybe that makes him not on the board for the 49ers, but his movement skills and his flexibility and seeing the way he can move around could absolutely play guard. 33-inch arms is that minimum cutoff to be able to play tackle, though. At 6'4", 321, 80-inch wingspan, not undersized, but hits those minimums to be a tackle. Could play guard as well. 5'05", 40 time. Exactly, you know, what you would expect to run for a guy who I saw athletic on tape the little bit that I watched him, I want to watch him some more. But an interesting player on day two that could be a developmental player if he's there, you know, maybe the third round, and maybe the character stuff, you feel good about it, but that could push him down into a zone where he's actually a steal for you. Or maybe it's a situation where he's off your board completely. I don't know exactly what that the character stuff and the background work is going to look like for Sadiq Charles. But there are plenty of other guys as well that fit the mold of really athletic developmental players. Hakeem Adeniji, another guy who had a great combine workout, could play guard, could play tackle, 6'4", 302, big hands, long enough arms, 33 and three quarters, 26 bench press reps, 5.17 40, you know, just solid across the board. Good numbers there. 34-inch vertical, really good for him. I mean, and he's someone that could play maybe any spot on the offensive line. Ezra Cleveland had a fantastic combine. Great workout numbers. Offensive tackle out of Boise State, 6'6", 311, 33 and a third inch arm length, 30 bench press reps, sub 5'40", 4.93, second fastest 40 for the offensive lineman at 6'6". That's flying, just, you know, smooth mover with those strides. Ezra Cleveland is another one to like, potential developmental offensive tackle. Maybe my favorite, though, and I talked about a couple of them. I talked about Sadiq Charles and Matthew Peart. Those were the two that were sort of on my radar before the combine. A couple of those other guys, Cleveland and Adeniji, were added to my radar as potential steals that could develop into starting offensive tackles in the league. But Matt Peart is one that really is interesting because of how easily he moves with his just flat-out prototype size and length at offensive tackle. Really raw coming out of Connecticut. He was a former soccer player, played some other sports growing up, so you can see those. And I love prospects that played other sports because you just see different movement skills, different ability from some of these players. And at 6'6 and 5'8, 318, absolutely ridiculous antennas for arms, 36 and 5'8 inch arm length. Still put up 26 bench press reps with those long arms, 5.06 40 time, 30 inch vertical. Really in those field drills when you see him moving around, just such an easy, light on his feet, athletic mover. I think the type of offensive tackle Kyle Shanahan would love to have in his system who can get out and block on the second level, should have plenty of length and just, you know, maybe add some more strength, see what kind of a nasty streak he has when I watch more film, because that's one of the big keys for offensive linemen in the league. You have to want to kill people. You know, it's a crazy position mentally. You have to be prepared to fight some really ridiculous, nasty athletes on the other side of the ball. So mindset is big for offensive linemen. Does Matt Peart have that? Because he has all the length and athleticism. Raw player, could even be there in round four, which would be a perfect fit for what the 49ers are looking for with his height, weight, speed. I think he'll probably get into the round three range, but probably not go before that because of how raw he is as a player. But solid at the Senior Bowl. Offensive tackle, could potentially play some guard, but I like him at tackle just with that length. Matt Peart, another name to look at there as a developmental offensive tackle. One player that I have seen on the interior, and pretty much the only interior guy that I've seen get mocked to the 49ers, and it's right around the sweet spot for center out of Michigan, Cesar Ruiz, you know, in the 30s somewhere. 6'2 and three quarters, 307 pounds, massive 11-inch hands, which is good if you're going to be handling the ball as a center. 28 bench press reps, 5.08 40 time, which is solid, again, for a 300-pounder, and 33-inch vertical. So athletic, checks all the boxes there. Cesar Ruiz had a really good career as a center, could play some guard in the NFL if you don't have the need right away at center. Cesar Ruiz had a nice little combine for himself as well on the interior. I'll have to get more into the interior guys as we get closer to the draft. I want to save some time for running backs here in segment three next. Real quick, one more player I want to shout out, somebody I talked about previewing the combine, Natan Muti out of Fresno State. For all my Central Valley folks that are Fresno State fans, I know there's a lot of you out there, a hair under 6'3", 315, but most bench press reps at the combine, 44 or so far at the combine, 44 bench press reps, which is a monster number. And you see that strength on film. He will dominate people at times. It's going to be interesting where Muti's stock ends up, and you know, some injury stuff, and there will have to be some concerns there that teams figure out with Muti. But maybe the best guard prospect in the draft, potentially, with the way he can physically dominate some opponents Really like Muti, and I just wanted to shout out that 44 bench press rep, which was about 20 more than most of the guys on the offensive line were able to throw up there. Running backs. Disappointing. J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State might have been the number one back on some teams' boards. Someone I think maybe is the number one running back in this class. It's close between a few guys, and maybe that gap got a little closer with some of the workouts here. But he did not work out. I think he had some pretty good reasons. I don't remember what it was, but it was, you know, injury or whatever it was. J.K. Dobbins not working out at the combine. It didn't seem a situation like he just ducked out and didn't want to compete. It was a legitimate reason. J.K. Dobbins did not work out. We'll see what happens at Ohio State's pro day. But that left DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor. That gave them the opportunity to really shine at the position. Cam Akers as well as another one. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those are sort of the top five, and the order is all over the place with some people on those guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's start there because he was targeted heavily out of the backfield. I don't see him as a player that necessarily you line up and you split him out and you run wide receiver type routes with him. He's more of a, I mean, he's a really squatty player, short legged, 5'7", 207 pounds, ran a 4.6, so not a great time, but you wouldn't have expected a really fast time from him. But he did throw up 39.5-inch vertical at his size. So explosive in a short area is what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, someone you can throw the ball to out of the backfield. I think probably more of a third-round guy. Some people like him higher than that. Definitely more of a player that someone drafts, see what they have, use him as a third-round type back. I think he'll probably end up being a starter in the NFL, though, and someone you probably want to draft and get some good value on your fantasy football teams out of LSU. But yeah, definitely short and squatty. And again, you know, height is something that's very overrated for running backs. And it's a good thing because there's not a lot of tall running backs in this class. But the guy that really stood out, Jonathan Taylor, 4.39 40 for Taylor, which is just a fantastic time. And, you know, he's, as Daniel Jeremiah called him when they were running their 40s, he's a home run hitter. And he said that right before he hit that home run of a 4.39 40 time officially at the combine. Out of Wisconsin, 5'10", 226 pounds. It reminds me a little bit of Nick Chubb, where, you know, when you see Nick Chubb hit it and he hits that hole and you don't think he's that fast, but then nobody can catch him, even though he's rocked up and very strong. So that's the type of player I see in Jonathan Taylor, and just a great workout, 36-inch vertical, 4.39 40 time. He's absolutely going to be in the conversation for one of the top backs and potentially be probably most likely to be a first-round draft pick by some team. I think there's three running backs that have a good chance, and it's Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, as I mentioned, and another player out of Georgia, DeAndre Swift, who's the number one running back, according to a lot of people, and low to the ground, really smooth, athletic. All these guys can catch the ball, too, which is pretty surprising. You know, maybe not wide receivers that you want to split out all the time, but they have enough ball skills, and we're throwing the ball enough in college to where you have something to work with as a three-down player, which is really key because you don't always get that when it comes to the draft. But Swift at 5'8", 212 pounds, ran a 4.48, which is a really good time. Looks smooth in drills. He's so good laterally as well. So another good running back, someone I'm sure Kyle Shanahan would love. But, you know, I don't think he's going to get to pick 31. And if he did, I don't know if I would advocate taking that running back again in the first round. It's not something I like, not something I really expect the 49ers to do, but it wouldn't be completely shocking with how much Kyle Shanahan has wanted to spend on running backs in the past. Pays his fullback twice as much as any other fullback in the league, and Kyle Juszczyk is the best fullback in the league, so he's probably worth it. But, you know, he put a bunch of money into running back right away, then spent more money later. Once that running back, Jerick McKinnon, didn't work out for him, he spent more money on Tevin Coleman. So the running back position is important, and Kyle Shanahan puts a lot into that position. And with the up and down nature of the running backs on the roster, even though I like the guys they have, it just seems like the usage and the way Kyle Shanahan used them, he doesn't have a ton of confidence in all of them necessarily. So don't be shocked. Don't be completely shocked by a running back early in the draft. And if there was that guy that I really think could be the fit for the 49ers, probably more in the second round range, but who knows, he could sneak into round one as well. I'd prefer it after a trade down, if at all. Is Cam Akers, probably my favorite for the 49ers, because I think he does show even that extra little bit of receiving ability, someone that can adjust to a poorly thrown ball, really good hands. You could put him in the slot, put him outside, ask him to run some more wide receiver routes, and he worked out fantastic. Out of Florida State, Cam Akers, 5'10", 217 pounds, put up 20 bench press reps, ran a 4.47, 35.5-inch vertical, just really checked off every box there athletically, put up some great film as well. So Cam Akers, definitely a three down, not just a third down back, a three down type of back in the NFL. So a nice top heavy running back class, a lot of really good options that hopefully the 49ers don't go overboard and draft one of those guys too early. If I had to put money on one of them going early, I would say Cam Akers, second round after a trade down, and Kyle Shanahan gets too excited and wants to go draft himself a running back, maybe after potentially taking care of other things in free agency and cutting Tevin Coleman. Matt Breida, restricted free agent. I can see it. Unlikely, but it's out there. Just looking at 40 times, some really fast times out there. Darrington Evans from Appalachian State, 4.41. Raymond Calais, who's a track guy from Louisiana Lafayette, 4.42. I don't think those are necessarily players that are going to be going on day two or anything like that. So maybe some sleepers out there for Kyle Shanahan if like I would recommend, maybe goes into the running back class on day three with some of those extra picks that they have later in the draft. Joshua Kelly out of UCLA, 4.49. A.J. Dillon put up a good speed score because he's 250 pounds out of Boston College, ran a 4.53, which is a really good time. And he had vertical. Yeah, 41-inch vertical for A.J. Dillon, 6 feet and 247 pounds. So I don't think he's the 49ers style of running back for some teams that want more of a power back and a bigger running back. A.J. Dillon put up some really impressive workout numbers. You know, Benjamin, a little bit disappointing in the speed category, only a 4.57 at just under 5'9", 207 pounds. And maybe the worst workout is Zach Moss, who's a big, you know, one of those running backs that just bounces off of people, 5'9", 223 pounds. People compared him to Marshawn Lynch, ran a 4.65, kind of an ugly time for a running back that will definitely hurt his stock. I don't know if people expected him necessarily to blaze, but, you know, 4.65 is not a great 40 time, and you don't see those guys go in the first couple of rounds, even if a team really likes Zach Moss with his style of play out of Utah. More of a power back. There are some running backs for just about every occasion in this class, as there usually is, and you can find a good one late, which is why I always recommend not drafting one early. All right, out of time here. More on the defensive side of the ball as we go throughout the week, and I will take some mailbag questions every day. I'll try to fit those in. I think that's the way I want to try to do this thing, and if it works this week, we'll do it for the rest of the offseason. So hit me on Twitter at BDPeacock, no matter what the topic is, draft, prospects, position groups, free agency, that's going to be massive getting into next week, especially with the CBA and franchise tags as we get close to the new league year. We have it all covered for you right here, Locked On 49ers.